Thank you very much. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here this morning. I'm going to start with two grand statements. First is, there's plenty of money in the world. We just have to learn how to manage it. We are not living in a world of scarcity. There is an economic crisis, so another big statement happening in the world. But that doesn't mean that there is less money available. So what I'm going to speak about is this push towards an international financial architecture. And over the past 20 years, we see a lot of conversations around the fact that there is money, but it's not being used in the right spaces. And we hear a lot of wonderful, innovative ways of managing the money that is actually visible or available. But we need to talk about the money that is not available and the money that is kept out of the system. And one part of it, of course, is the informal networks and the informal financial system, because as economies spiral downwards, fewer and fewer people have trust in the system. The less trust they have in the system, the more likely they are to operate outside it, which means you see a scarcity within the formal networks. So we need to really think about these big issues as we go forward. And so as we're coming to the run-up of what I hope is going to be a very important meeting in Spain, and I hope I will be there, is apart from tax, which has already been mentioned, there is issues around debt and illicit financial flows. But there is also natural resources, and there is the whole issue of digitization, which is an economy all on its own. I've already submitted several reports on this, both to the Human Rights Council and the General Assembly, and I'd like to encourage you to please go have a look at them, because the core of all the conversation I have around finance, debt, tax, or illicit financial flows comes back to one issue. How is it improving the standards of living of human beings? And if we add to this climate conversation, how is it ensuring that the planet's health stays healthy? I will tell you that overall, the trajectory of financial decisions that we are making are not improving either people's lives or the health of the planet. And I say this because I am not seeing conversations around reduction in temperature of water. I'm not hearing conversations around improvement of environment. I am hearing statistics of increased desertification in climate issues. I hear 1,400 kilometers of some countries are being lost to deserts every year. And then I hear rising sea levels. So we need to keep very center and focus the human being and the planet in what is these very financial and technical decisions that we're making. So we've spoken about a whole set of issues, and I don't want to repeat them. But what I do want to talk about is the challenges, the instabilities in the system because of the direction we are taking, and as a result, potential way forwards as well as opportunities. The challenges that I see in the system is the power imbalance. But the power imbalance is not because there is more power in one space or less in the other, but that there is a prioritization of power. So for some, capital is seen as the power. For others, the number of human beings is seen as a power. I think we have to move away from this power-based conversation to a vulnerability, a poverty, and a developmental-based power conversation, so that all debates and discussions are constantly being referenced back to the lives of human beings and the health of the planet. The second I see that is a problem is the formulas. Negotiations are intense on formulas. So in principle, we're saying these are good things, and I'm hearing good things. But what is happening is that every single conversation I see happening in international treaties are getting stuck on the formulas on how we share the limited resources, because we are not talking about the resources that are not being captured. So we need to bring that whole conversation front and center and then go into the formulas a little bit later. I always tell people there's blood on the lines of the budget. And that for me is very important. Countries have pledged numerous times over the years, but frankly, the pledges are not being honored. And I've had conversations with governments which very respectfully will tell me, you know, we're good for it. And I appreciate that you're good for it. But the trade-off that is happening in a developing country because a pledge is not honored by even 1 day or 2 days or 3 days is having the effect of them having to look for debt, of them having to compromise on principles on national budgets because the financing that was pledged has not been put into the pots. So this is extremely important. There are now instabilities in currency rates that are increasing because debt agreements are actually requiring rebasing and refloating of currencies. So debt money that is taken on board is not even enough for the decisions that need to be made and for the infrastructure that needs to be built. But there is one misstep that we take every time we are taking on debt. The whole concept of an interest rate that can go higher every time you take on a debt is counterintuitive. Countries don't build infrastructure to make profit. They're building infrastructure to improve the lives of their citizens. As a result, when debt is taken on, it needs to be taken on the understanding that there will not be a profit coming in. And frankly, COVID has overturned data for the next 4 to 5 years on even how much economies will grow post-infrastructure building. So we have to rethink a lot of things. And the things that we have to rethink don't just include the formulas and the content of these decisions, but actually the entire system. We have no laws governing private bonds. We have no global laws regulating credit rating agencies. But what you have is disparate countries and regions starting to set up multipolar blocks. And now this is adding to the complexity in the space. So I think we need to do a take stock. I hope Spain will allow us to do a take stock going forward of where all of these different fiscal systems are, where they are based, and the effects they are having. So it's a big take stock. But also, we need to then talk about what we really need to put in place so that these wonderful decisions that are being made on how spending takes place are actually being leveraged well. I think I want to come to a close with just one statement. I think we have to change how we approach diplomatic spaces. And I think we have to not have a double speak when we come into the space. I think human rights, the human rights economy, the rights to development, development conversations, sustainable development, actually allows us to bring people and the planet center in focus. And I think that's what we really need to do, because I am really worried about the direction things are going in. I thank you very much for your time, Chair.